SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Football Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Germanary. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together on this Football Friday, but not just a Football Friday, a divisional round Football Friday, entering one of the best weekends of football each and every season. The best of the best competing for spots in conference championship games in the most significant stages of an NFL season. We will preview and break down and give you some best bets for all four of our divisional round matchups this weekend, starting tomorrow in Arrowhead, then to the Motor City, where the one seeds get in the fold, and a doubleheader on Sunday to round out an incredible weekend. Joe, a lot to break down over these 3 hours here on the Early Line.
Yeah, it's put up or shut up time, Ben, in the NFL. And of course, just around the corner, a national champion will be crowned in college football in the next 72 hours. Looking very forward to it all.
The last few weeks with the extended and expanded college football playoff, we have had some monumental stretch runs of football over the weekend, and that continues courtesy of a college football playoff national championship game on Monday night. One of the best weekends of football just got even better courtesy of college football. But Joe, before we dive deep into a Football Friday to preview the entirety of the divisional round, let's look back on all the news and notes from a Thursday night, and what a night of hoops it was. First in the NBA, a potential finals preview in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Cavaliers, the two best teams in the NBA, also played each other last week in the land. The Cavaliers won that game comfortably as a short home favorite in a high-scoring affair. Speaking of comfortable, it's exactly what the Thunder did last night, exacting some revenge about 8 days later in blowing out Cleveland, 134-114. That final score, not even necessarily representative, Joe, of the game. OKC had a 38-point lead entering the fourth quarter. So needless to say, Oklahoma City covers as a 2-point home favorite.
Yeah, and I've said it all along, Ben, if these two teams were to meet in a final in a best of seven series, you'd probably get to a seventh game and whoever had home court would be your champion. And that's kind of feels like what we're looking at right here. Cleveland held serve a week ago. OKC returns the favor on their home court. And boy, oh boy, should be a very interesting NBA playoffs with these two teams.
Both very high-scoring affairs. Last week, total close in the low 230s. It skied over, and because of the OKC offensive onslaught in the opening three quarters, a total last night of 233 pushes to the over as well. Now, tied atop the association, the Cavs and the Thunder, with the same exact record in the regular season, 34-6, as we near the midway point of this NBA campaign. And what a night in college basketball. Three top 25 ranked teams, all in action on a Thursday, all at least a 9.5-point favorite, but all on the road and all suffering a defeat. Memphis at Temple, they storm the court in Philadelphia. Michigan unbeaten in Big Ten play, losing to Minnesota, who picked up its first Big Ten win of the year, courtesy of Dawson Garcia from the logo. And how about Gonzaga entering Corvallis and going to OT for Oregon State to win outright as a 9.5-point underdog. The chaos, Joe, as you well know, does not wait until March. What a Thursday night in January in men's college basketball.
And I mean, think about it, Ben, because you got Memphis here who has non-conference wins against Missouri, UConn, Clemson, Virginia, Mississippi. And what do? They go on a road to Temple and get absolutely lit up by Jamal Mashburn Jr., who dropped 21 on him. So impressive win for Temple, and it just goes to show you Boy, oh boy, going on the road in conference play, not an easy thing to do.
If you win on the road in any of your conference games, even if the game is far closer than expected, take it, walk out of there, head home with a smile on your face, as we saw last night. How about Minnesota's Ben Johnson? Not the only Ben Johnson, of course, in the coaching carousel, picking up his first win over a ranked foe last night for the Golden Gophers. We saw an overtime buzzer beater winner in Evanston between Northwestern and Maryland. Nebraska's 20-game home win streak in Lincoln comes to a close against Rutgers. There was so much good college basketball last night. And now we dive in to college football with its ties to the National Football League. The rumors in the coaching carousel really starting to spin yesterday. First to North Carolina. Bill Belichick's contract remains unsigned. It's not necessarily uncommon, Joe, in college football, but it is, of course, noteworthy with all of the discussions around multiple NFL organizations reaching out to Belichick.
I listen, if you don't have them locked up, sealed, and delivered, that's on you, UNC. I mean, there are a lot of coaches, Ben, you can go that route with. But Belichick and the end of the NFL season with five, he would not have been one of them. I would want to make sure he was signed, sealed, and delivered way ahead of time. And that is not apparently what we have here.
His de facto GM at UNC, Michael Lombardi, needs to be damage control in his personal PR department. His 24-year-old girlfriend, yeah, that is a true statement, replied on Instagram yesterday saying we've got a couple of committed people to Carolina. What a wild scene it is there in Chapel Hill. But, Joe, it seems to be around the Dallas Cowboys opening that maybe Bill Belichick's people did not know of at first. And speaking of that Cowboys vacancy, a lot of notoriety. Dallas set to interview Kellen Moore whenever he is able to interview for the job. Former OC in Dallas, of course, now the offensive coordinator with the Eagles. And then a report from Ed Werder around Deion Sanders that if offered the job, Deion Sanders would take it. What a time it is to be at the Star.
Yeah, it feels like a dumpster fire, Ben, and it smells like a dumpster fire. So you know what it is? It's a dumpster fire in Big D, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always how Jerry Jones does things, waiting till probably a worse timeline to start the interview process. Aaron Rodgers, NFL future. What will it be after two decades in the NFL at the age of 41? Rodgers basically saying it really depends on the future of the Jets franchise, the decisions made in the hires of their new general manager and head coach.
Yeah, it also depends on how the peyote and the hot box in Arizona goes, I think, Ben. A lot of that probably plays into it as well. You never know with Aaron Rodgers. You really don't.
You don't. I hope the darkness treats him well this offseason. I'm not sure either new head coach or GM is going to want Aaron Rodgers back regardless. The Texans running back Joe Mixon, as we get you set for the divisional round. Houston heads to Kansas City to kick off our four divisional round matchups, listed as questionable on the injury report yesterday. Still has props out and ran for more than 100 yards in the Texans upset outright at home to kick off wild card weekend.
He'll give it a go, I'm sure, but really, does it make a difference, Ben, one way or the other?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure it does. His prop has been falling. He did miss practice yesterday, but like Joe said, expected still to play tomorrow afternoon. And Mr. Baseball sadly passes away yesterday at the age of 90. Bob Uecker, the 54-year play-by-play voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, who also played for that Milwaukee organization, his hometown team, passes away yesterday at the age of 90. If you can enjoy a Miller Lite this weekend and you want to toast to Bob Uecker and Mr. Baseball, maybe crack that light beer. More on the early line on a Football Friday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, This is a Football Friday on the Early Line. 3 hours basically dedicated to a preview and pregame show for the entirety of the divisional round weekend around the National Football League. Four games in total. Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. And we will start with the finale of four. The marquee matchup this weekend, one we all expect to maybe instantly be a classic and immediately live in NFL playoff lore. For each of our four matchups, we will go game by game, what the numbers are telling us from the odds perspective, the key matchups that will dictate the outcome, and an eye on player props, the narratives, the storylines, and what it might mean for conference championship weekend exactly a week from now. So let's start that deep dive and the examination over these next 3 hours, basically, on a Football Friday on the Early Line to Western New York, Sunday evening, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, and a kick between the Buffalo Bills, Joe, and the Baltimore Ravens. You see a small bit of movement in terms of those money line numbers becoming tighter and tighter. The Ravens remain a slight road favorite in Western New York, minus 112 on the money line. But yesterday, that was minus 118. Maybe you are all saying, Ben, it's 6 cents. It is literally a nickel and a penny. What is the big deal? When it deserves a spot in a conference championship matchup, and you see that movement for a game expected to be this competitive, it is worth noting. A total north of 50 as well at 51 in a hook. Joe, when this line opened, the Bills were a slight home favorite, quickly favored the flock. They still remain a road favorite. By the time we get to Sunday night in Orchard Park, who do you think will be expected to win the football game?
Oh, I think the market's telling you who they expect to win this football game, and it's not the Buffalo Bills, which is a little head-scratching to me, Ben. I talked to an awful lot of people during the week behind the counter, and, boy, you'd be hard-pressed to find any one of them telling you that, yeah, a lot of the pros are coming in, and it's Buffalo they're looking at. It is all public money on Baltimore. And not a whole lot of people are looking towards Buffalo's way, which I think is crazy, given the fact that, I mean, let me ask you, Ben, what is home field advantage in the NFL anymore? If a team who is 9-0 at home this season won four games in the 20-point range, another one by 30-plus points, yet they are, nobody seems to be giving them any credit here. Baltimore is supposed to go on a road in Orchard Park, so I guess home field means nothing, Ben, apparently, in the NFL anymore. That's what this line is telling me, that it doesn't make a difference where the game is. Baltimore is the better team, and I ain't buying it.
You know what's really interesting, too, Joe? You would think if there was home field advantage worth anything in the NFL, especially in mid to late January, in the postseason, it might be in Orchard Park. Kickoff temperatures expected to be in the single digits by the time we get to Sunday evening. And it's not overly windy on the shores of the lakes up there near the Canadian border, but it's still going to probably feel colder than even the 9 degrees we expect that temperature to B. Joe, Buffalo has only been booked as an underdog 17 times since the start of 2020. Of course, this has been the 5-year run where the Bills have won the AFC East each of the previous 5 seasons, trying to change the narrative, being bounced by the divisional round each of the last 3 years, only playing in one AFC championship game. Speaking of narratives, Lamar Jackson hoping to do the same. A 3-4 playoff record, trying to get back to the AFC title game for a second consecutive year and maybe turn the fortune of the franchise for the flock as well. Buffalo an underdog 4 times this year, Joe, including week 4 in Baltimore to end out September. The Ravens won that game handily as a short 2.5-point favorite, 35-10 at home. Buffalo in that game allowed the Ravens to run for 271 yards, 8 yards per carry. Derrick Henry nearly had 200 himself on the ground. So, Joe, maybe there is that idea that the Ravens have done it before. The Ravens are going to run the football effectively, as we saw in the opening round, and maybe the Bills are not meant to slow down that rushing attack of the King and Derrick Henry and potentially the MVP winner for a second year in a row, Lamar Jackson.
And here lies the problem, Ben, when it comes to the public handicapping a game like this. What happened in week four has absolutely no bearing on what is going to happen in this game. And yet, if you listen to people talk and you read, all they keep doing is referring to this week four game, a game in which the Bills were missing Matt Milano, Taron Johnson, and AJ Appencia there in that first game. So three starters on the defensive side of the ball for the Buffalo Bills was not in that game there. Yeah. They also didn't ask Lamar Jackson to do much in that one, 13-18 for $156. Why? Well, because they couldn't stop the run and there really wasn't any need to. That game was over before it started, but that was week four. Anything that you are taking and carrying over and thinking that's going to be what we get here, I think you're sadly mistaken. Not to mention, this is a, again, home field advantage. And you're telling me Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen with the game on the line, who are you taking? I'm taking Josh Allen at home any day of the week in a big game, any day.
And you know what's super interesting as well, Joe, in that game, Buffalo scored only 10 points, the season low. They have scored 30-plus with all of the starters out there in 10 of their last 11. We'll talk about the total on the other side of the break, but it is north of 50, which might seem a little bit interesting for wintry Western New York in late January, 51.5. The total way back in week four in sunny Baltimore at the end of September was 47 and a hook, and it stayed under. It was one of four unders the Ravens played throughout the regular season, one of the best over teams throughout this year. We'll talk about that total and two elite scoring offenses and the quarterbacks next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we all expect to be the best game of the division around is the final game of the weekend, our fourth and final in Western New York between the Bills and the Ravens. It is approaching a virtual pick'em, 8 cents of difference on the money line with a total north of 50, 51 and a hook. Again, we talked about this idea yesterday. If the numbers follow suit, if the odds track, we are expecting the closest of close and competitive games in a high-scoring affair. But, Joe, it is mid to late January in Orchard Park, New York, with a total of 51.5 and single-digit temperatures expected by the time we get to kick on Sunday evening. How much offense are you expecting for the fourth and final game of the divisional round?
Oh, I think we're going to expect some offense here, but I don't think it's going to be a wild and crazy kind of game, Ben, where we're going to get 60 or more points in here, which is kind of what, to tell you the truth, I thought maybe it'd be even a little bit higher, and I do think it's going to get pushed a little bit higher as the public money comes in, you know, 24 hours prior, and we all know they love their overs, and I think they will push this thing up a little bit here, but I'm not so sure because let's face it, if Baltimore is going to win this game, they're going to win it because the defense ends up smothering the Buffalo Bills and vice versa. We have seen both of these teams, yes, playing a lot of very high scoring games, but under these conditions, do or die in the playoffs where neither team has been able to break through, especially against the Kansas City Chiefs, who in all likelihood is waiting on deck. I think this is a much less offensive-minded game and a much more defensive and maybe not take as many chances kind of game here. So I'm leaning at the under because in Orchard Park in January with a trip to the AFC Championship on the line, I don't know that we're going to get all sorts of craziness offensively in this game.
It is still playoff football. In five of our six games during wild card weekend, went to the under. The Ravens defense so much improved in their last five games, allowing 17 points or fewer in all five. Baltimore, the best rushing defense in the NFL, allowing just about 77 yards per game. And that was the case even before the Pittsburgh game to kick off the opening round of the postseason for the Ravens last Saturday. Buffalo's defense in a big step up spot. But Joe, outside of that, it is also the quarterback comparison. We're talking about two guys trying to change the narrative of their playoff lives and that of their organization. Five consecutive years winning the AFC East for Josh Allen and Buffalo. One AFC championship game berth to show for it. In the last 3 years, an exit in this very weekend, the divisional round. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. 3-4 when Lamar has been the starting quarterback for their playoff runs since 2019. And then, Joe, there is the individual solely this year. Two guys competing directly head-to-head for the NFL MVP hardware that has allowed both fan bases to kind of bolster their guy up and feel some vitriol to the other side. Which quarterback do you expect to shine on Sunday in Buffalo?
It's not even a choice for me, Ben. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to look defensively much better against the run and Derrick Henry in this game than anything you might have seen in week four. So if that's the case, Ben, then what we're going to have is a game that is going to come down to the quarterbacks, right? It's going to be, can Lamar Jackson out-duel Josh Allen? And I'm sorry, I don't see that happening with Josh Allen in Orchard Park at home here. I think Josh Allen, especially at any plus number here, this Buffalo Bills game, if it comes down to Lamar versus Josh and Josh is home, I'll take Josh Allen all day long. If Lamar was home, I would take Lamar Jackson. But I'm sorry, I think this is advantage Buffalo and Josh Allen in this game.
Both guys were sensational in the opening round of the postseason. Six incompletions for Josh, more than 270 yards through the air, two touchdowns and 46 on the ground. Lamar, five incompletions, only a buck 75, but the Ravens did not have to do much against the Steelers on Saturday night. Still multiple touchdown tosses and 81 yards on the ground with 15 attempts. Both expected to do a lot on Sunday evening as well. The way it should be in a matchup between two guys contending for that MVP award this season and trying to earn their team a spot in the AFC Championship game. But they can't do it alone. The rest of the props for Sunday evening in Orchard Park next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to take a deep dive into every divisional round matchup on this Football Friday on the early line. And right now, that means the final game of the weekend, one we expect to be an instant classic and be an NFL playoff legend for many years to come. Is that too high of expectation? I certainly hope not. I hope it matches the hype that we are setting for it. That game in Buffalo, Sunday evening. Bills, Ravens, nearly a pick'em, a total of 51.5. We just examined the quarterback comparison and a lot of weight and pressure on the two signal callers, Josh Allen for Buffalo, Lamar Jackson for the Ravens, trying to dominate the storyline this year in direct head-to-head competition for the NFL MVP and personally responsible for changing the fortune of franchises in playoff runs. But Joe, I also think we have a very compelling running back matchup on Sunday. Of course, your first attention would be on the king. That is Derrick Henry. You see the props there. 19.5, his attempts prop, 96.5 on the ground. He had a buck 99 in the opening matchup way back in week four against Buffalo. He had 186 yards on 26 carries last week to start off the postseason against the Steelers. Greater than a $2 favorite in minus money to hit Pater. But James Cook on the other side, Now, those numbers seem awfully low. I understand the Ravens have the best rush defense in the NFL, but I think James Cook plays a much bigger factor in this game, Joe, especially that plus 105 price to hit Pater in a game that features a total of 51.5.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you, and I think he has to. I think he has to play a big role in this game for Buffalo. I thought it was very interesting, the game plan last week against Denver, and how you kept waiting for them to do anything else other than run the ball. But Denver couldn't stop Cook, so you know what Buffalo kept doing? Handing the ball off to Cook, and he kept getting 5-6 yards a pop. He looks much better than he has had in a very long time. And keep in mind, this offensive line for the Buffalo Bills has missed one game over the last couple of seasons here. This is the most consistent. You want to talk about continuity here, Ben. This offensive line of the Buffalo Bills has been through wars together, and they have maintained their health over the last couple of seasons. That's going to play a huge role in this game at home and running the ball here. So, and if it's not James Cook, then you got to worry about Josh Allen. So both of these teams are going to have their hands full defensively when it comes to the running game, but I would not sleep on James Cook having a big afternoon here.
Neither would I. 23 carries for a 120 and a touchdown in the opening round win at home against the Broncos. And again, that's not an aberration for James Cook. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. But Joe, last year, he only had 2 rushing touchdowns the entirety of the campaign for Buffalo. He has 17 in total this year, 16 in the regular season, tied atop the National Football League. Sure, the Ravens allowed fewer than 30 rushing yards to the Steelers in an inept offense a week ago. And the Ravens have been the best rushing defense in the NFL all season long, really from opening to end. They allowed in the regular season, if you want to bring everybody into the fold, just about 80 yards per game. Again, the least amount given up in all of the National Football League. But James Cook to hit Pater at plus 105, again, in a game that features a total of 51.5. I like that number a lot on a guy that has scored 19 total times this year, 17 on the ground. And Joe, it's really intriguing to have two MVP frontrunners facing off against one another without a lead wide receiver really to break down their props. But as we look at the three top guys for the Ravens, we're not expecting Zay Flowers. We'll see if that changes by the time we get to Sunday night. But Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, and Isaiah Likely, those three highest receiving yards numbers for the flock on the other side for Buffalo. It's Khalil Shakir, and then a pretty good drop off to Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman, the rookie out of Florida State. Of those guys, Joe, the pass catchers for Sunday night in Western New York, is there anybody you expect to step up that maybe you can find a discount on that yardage prop?
Listen, he's not on the list here, but we should also mention, don't sleep on any of the numbers for Justice Hill either as a change of pace back there for Baltimore here. He's also, I think, could have a big role in this one. But for, well, you got to look at the tight ends, right, Ben, in this list here. Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and Dalton Kincaid are guys that are going to sit down right in the middle of the defenses there and not only grab catches, but also pick up some yards here. So while I don't think they're going to be able to stretch the field at all, Baltimore, without Zay Flowers, they're a different passing attack without him. We have seen that. They did it last week with Derrick Henry because why? Well, because they had nobody stretching the field in that game. They won't have it here either. So it's got to be all about Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, moving the chains here. And on the flip side, Knox and Kincaid better show up in a big way here in this game, especially as the emergency dump off opportunities come for Josh Allen.
And again, Zay Flowers injured late in the game against the Cleveland Browns, or early in that game, I should say, against the Cleveland Browns, but in the regular season finale in week number 18. Because of that knee injury, he did not play last week to start off the playoffs against the Steelers, has been a DNP, did not practice each of the past 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see if that status changes at all on this Friday. Joe, as we go back to this game overall, again, it is a pick'em, basically. It is minus 112 with a slight point and a half in favor of Baltimore on that spread. A total at 51 and a half. The Ravens this year have been favored in every single game since the season debut in Arrowhead. They are 13-4 straight up. They are 11-5-1 against the spread. Technically, the spread could come into play, seeing as it's a point and a half. Buffalo, an underdog four times this year. Two outright wins, two outright losses, failing to cover a number, including way back in week number four. But as Joe has mentioned, you can't really handicap a week four game to end out September at this stage of the NFL season, in this moment in the divisional round. And Ranieri, it sounds like, in your estimation, the Buffalo Bills, even if they close as a slight home underdog come Sunday night against the Ravens, win a football game outright in advance of the AFC Championship.
Listen, both these teams are not often underdogs in any situation. And anytime they are, Ben, I would look to back them. And this is no different here. I think the Bills should be favored in this matchup at home. I think that far too many people are referencing what they saw in week four, which means absolutely nothing in this game. And the fact that we can even get Buffalo now, Ben, in a teaser situation to get them up and over a touchdown. Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Money line plus the 1.5, plus 7.5 in a teaser, and start loading up on the Buffalo Bills this weekend.
And it should be very important. We'll talk about the Chiefs in the first game of the weekend tomorrow afternoon on the other side of the break. But of course, KC having home field advantage and the playoff pedigree that neither the Ravens or Bills have is the favorite to win the AFC Championship, plus 135. Baltimore second best price at plus 210. Buffalo third best number at plus 240. If you believe strongly in your heart of hearts that one of these teams is just going to win outright on Sunday, it could be worth a wager on said team to win the AFC Championship game as well. More than likely an underdog in Kansas City, but not necessarily probably more than a field goal dog on the road in Arrowhead. So note those AFC title prices. Speaking of Arrowhead, the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. It is a football Friday, but not just a football Friday. A football Friday entering the divisional round, and quite possibly, as it is each and every NFL season, the best weekend of football each and every year. Not because we have jam-packed slates that fill up the docket both Saturday and Sunday, but because we have the best of the best competing in their biggest games of a season. And for the Kansas City Chiefs, that is a hope for history. The two-time reigning champs, the number one seed in the AFC, a 15-win football team in 2024, gets ready to enter the postseason fold, hoping to defend their two consecutive Lombardi trophies and play in a Super Bowl for a third consecutive year, becoming the first ever back-to-back Super Bowl winner to do just that, even compete in the biggest of games on a Super Bowl Sunday for a third straight season. It is the first game of divisional weekend tomorrow afternoon in Kansas City, Missouri, with an 8.5-point spread in favor of the Chiefs against a Texans team that for a second consecutive year has won the AFC South with quarterback C.J. Stroud and won a home playoff game as a short underdog outright to see the divisional round. total at 41 and a hook. You see that spread, Joe, north of a touchdown. We know what the argument has been against KC all year long. Not overwhelmingly impressive, not blowing anybody out. So an 8.5-point spread for this matchup to kick off the divisional round tells you what about this game?
Well, it tells us good luck, Houston, in this game here. Listen, I was on Houston last week, Ben, part of our pick six here on the show. I had given out Houston as my money line underdog. I was not a big believer in the Chargers. And as much as Houston had struggled, they had the experience in that spot here. But you may recall, Ben, that Houston last year also won a playoff game against Cleveland to open up things, right? And then what did they do? Well, then they went and visited the top seed in the AFC. Remember who that was? It was the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Remember how that game ended up for them? Yeah, it wasn't good. And as far as I'm concerned, this is this is a worse offense, worse offensive line for the Houston Texans than they were a year ago, and they got dismantled by the better Ravens team. My feeling is they're going to get dismantled by a better Chiefs team. And again, you're getting the same situation here, Ben, where people are quoting ATS records of Kansas City from the regular season. If by now you don't realize there's regular season Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, and then there's playoff Patrick Mahomes, I don't know what to tell you here. Kansas City will win this game by as many points as they want. It'll likely be double digits, and there is no way I want anything to do with Houston in this spot.
Because that regular season, Mark, especially for Kansas City this year in five games as a touchdown favorite or greater, is not overly impressive. They are perfect straight up, meaning they have not squandered a game they were expected to win comfortably, 5-0. But they are 0-5 against the spread as a touchdown favorite or more throughout the regular season. But Joe, there are some very familiar settings for both of these teams entering this matchup to kick off divisional round weekend. Let's start with the two-time reigning Super Bowl champs, the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has now been the starting quarterback for seven full seasons in KC. In the prior six, Kansas City has reached the AFC Championship game all 6 years. Kansas City has made the Super Bowl four times. They have hoisted a Lombardi Trophy three, including these previous 2 years consecutively in the National Football League. So since the start of the 2018 postseason with Mahomes as the starting quarterback for KC, what is that ATS record in 18 total games? 13-5 against the spread. A very different team in the most important games of a season. Now let's talk the Texans. Last year, won the AFC South with a rookie quarterback and rookie head coach, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. They were a home underdog of 2.5 points against the top wild card team. Last year, it was the Cleveland Browns. They won outright as a home underdog. What did they do this year? They won the AFC South. They were the 4 seed in the AFC playoff picture. They were a home underdog catching 2.5 points against the top wild card team. This year, the Chargers, they won that game outright. What did they do in the divisional round a year ago? Against the 1 seed in the conference, fresh off a bye on the road, the Texans got worked 34-10. And it wasn't like the odds makers were expecting a close game in the Charm City last year, Joe. 4.5, 5-point spread. It was a 9.5-point number in favor of the Ravens. And the Texans never even really got all that close to covering that hefty margin. There is a reason that Kansas City is laying 8.5 points tomorrow in Arrowhead.
A very big reason why. And, let's face it, Ben. This is, I think that Texans team last year was better offensively. They've lost most of their weapons. Now we've learned that Mixon is dealing with an ankle injury. So he might be limited. I mean, he's kind of the heart and soul of that team. To expect this team, who struggled all year to protect Stroud, who's been sacked more than anybody, against this Chiefs rested defense, I think is just, it's crazy. But again, You can lay the 8.5 with Kansas City, but boy, oh boy, are they a fantastic teaser opportunity to get under a field goal. And I think we can all live with the fact of thinking Kansas City likely wins this game by at least a field goal here.
41.5 is that total. And Joe, we have said it is foolish to compare numbers to even regular season games. We talked about Buffalo and Baltimore way back in September. Even the first time these two teams met up in week number 16 on a short week Saturday, the number was 3 points in favor of Kansas City at home. They won that game 27-19. They covered. The total, pretty close as well. 42.5, it's skied to the over. We're talking about 5.5 points of difference on the spread. That should be alarming, but a rather similar over-under. We'll talk total in the quarterbacks as we do up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The opening hour of a Football Friday dedicated to the divisional round around the National Football League. We start with the game that will start off the weekend inside Arrowhead Stadium tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. The Chiefs, a hefty favorite, laying 8.5 points. That total is our topic of conversation right now. 41.5. Joe, it is the lowest over-under of the entirety of our four matchups this weekend. During wild card weekend, we saw a ton of unders, but the only team that played to an over, or the only game, I should say, that would be Houston. It was the highest scoring game of the weekend in the opening round of the postseason against the Chargers on Saturday, 44 combined points. What are your thoughts on the total and what it will mean for the outcome of tomorrow afternoon's game in KC?
Well, I think if you look at this Houston team, if you're going to give them a chance to, let's say, win, but let's just say cover this game, Ben, if you're going to give them a chance to do that, they're going to have to do it by playing defense. And their defense, if we're all being honest, it was the defense that beat the Chargers last week. It wasn't Stroud in the offense by any stretch here. But the chances of Patrick Mahomes throwing 4 interceptions in this game against this defense, I think, is there's not a very good chance. However, I do think Kansas City has a formula that they always stick to, and it's usually have the lead maybe at the break and then suffocate you in the second half and play keep away and keep moving the chains, and that's what they do. And I don't know that the Texans' defense is going to be able to get off the field as easily as they like here. So yes, no Tyreek Hill. Will Worthy have a couple of opportunities to get those 80-yard two-play touchdowns? Sure. I don't think that will happen here, though, although Houston's defense does have a habit of giving up that big play, Ben. We saw it again, of course, in the Chargers game. If they give up one or two of those in this game flies over. If they don't, this game stays way under the 41.5.
A quarter of the NFL, 8 of 32 NFL teams throughout the regular season, played double-digit amount of their games to the under in the regular season, including both of these teams. 10 of 17 games for the Chiefs, under. 11 of 17 games for the Texans, under. Alongside the New York Giants, the Texans and the G-Men, the highest under percentage throughout the regular season. We can understand why that total is 41 and a hook, but you don't need a lot of a offense tomorrow afternoon in Kansas City to push to the over. And by mid to late January standards in Kansas City, Missouri, not overly cold tomorrow. Mid-30s, not a ton of wind. That wind chill out there on the plains can often be a little bit precarious. Not necessarily the case as expected for tomorrow afternoon in KC Mo. Now we talk the quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. 229 and a hook, the number for Stroud. 247.5, the number for Mahomes. Who do you think, Joe, of our two signal callers for tomorrow afternoon, has the better chance to go over that passing yards prop?
Well, I think just from sheer volume, I do believe Stroud is going to have to throw the ball way more than probably what Patrick Mahomes is going to have to do, because I do believe Houston will be playing from behind. And if the running game and Mixon aren't up to par, if he is hurt and limited, then it's going to be all C.J. Stroud. They're going to ask him to drop back 35, 40 times in this game. So just from a volume standpoint, I think he's got a pretty good shot of going over 229 and a half here. But again, the big playability of Mahomes and Worthy and now Hollywood Brown, they can stretch the field.
Yeah.
He could also fly over that 247 and a half in this one.
A lot of people have pointed out Patrick Mahomes has not played in a football game since Christmas. Now nearly a month ago, at least 3.5 weeks. Will there be rust? I'm not so sure. Kansas City pretty used to this position once again. Joe Mixon's status, as we mentioned, did not practice in full yesterday, listed as questionable. We expect him to play, and he still has a rushing yards prop, but it is working its way down, only 57 and a half. He had 25 carries for 106 yards against the Chargers in the opening round of the playoffs. He has been a huge acquisition to this offense. We'll talk some historic numbers on the other side of the break in terms of Travis Kelce and Houston's Nico Collins as we continue our divisional round previews on a Football Friday in Hour 2 up next.